How do you make that promise agnostic to political parties, the promise of becoming net zero by any day? The problem is the efficient thing is the unfair thing. If you think about the carbon that's already out there in the atmosphere, a lot of that carbon has been put out by the developed countries, and they still continue to put out more carbon. For example, the United States produces 16 tons of carbon per person per year. Tanzania produces 0.2 tons of carbon per person per year. I think what it makes sense is for payments to take place from the high emitters to the low emitters. The beauty of this is Tanzania now has an incentive not to consume more carbon, because if it increases its consumption of carbon, it reduces the amount it gets from the fund.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vedaya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have on our show Dr. Raghuram Rajan, Catherine Dussac Miller, Distinguished Service Professor of Finance at Chicago Booth School. He was the 23rd governor of the Reserve Bank of India, and he also served as a chief economist at the IMF. Dr. Rajan joins us from Chicago, Illinois. Welcome, Raghu.
Thanks for having me.
In an op-ed published in 1970 in the New York Times by Dr. Milton Friedman, who went on to win the Nobel Prize in Economics, he wrote, and I quote, "Businesses that take seriously its responsibilities for providing employment, eliminating discrimination, avoiding pollution, and whatever else may be the catchword of the contemporary crop of reformers," he compared it to unadulterated socialism. He went on to say, and I paraphrase now, that the goal of the business should be to make as much money as possible while conforming to the social norms. And that is about 50 years ago. Now we've come a full about turn. We've done a complete about turn. What has changed?
To some extent, what has changed is that businesses have come under a lot more social pressure than at that time. It is certainly true that Milton Friedman said the business of business is making money. I think the second part of what he said is very important, that he said within the constraints of the laws and the norms of society. By norms, he basically meant reasonable business practice. Now, what he was very worried about, which is something we should worry about today also, it is important that we remember the basic business of business is making goods and services that you customers want to buy at a reasonable price. That's what a business is about. Now, everything else is over and above it. Obviously, you have to respect the laws. Obviously, you have to do it in the most environmentally reasonable way possible. Now, what he was trying to say, which I think is being debated today, is that you don't have to do anything more than what the laws say. And I think today, because of the difficulty that we have in passing the laws that matter, because of the differences in opinion within society, there's a lot of public pressure being applied on corporations, for example, to be better at emissions than what the law requires. And this is where Milton Friedman would disagree. He would say democracy means you pass the laws. If you can't pass the laws, then trying to enforce them on a company without them being passed by the democratic majority is not, you know, consistent with a democracy. It is some private interest group which says that this is more important and I will try and enforce it by picketing the corporation, etc. You could argue about that for a long time. But basically, I think his point was certainly if you make a good product, you will make money. Unfortunately, he wasn't particularly political. And by saying the business was to make money, the vision that comes in people's minds is of people rampaging, of companies rampaging through society, selling shoddy products in order to make the most profit possible. He would say that's a very short-term profit and you can't sustain that. You would have to be much more thoughtful about selling a good product.
It gives you a vision of avarice.
Exactly.
So we are moving from avarice to empathy.
Not necessarily. I think that's what corporations would like us to believe. And there are a few corporations that genuinely care more broadly. But for a lot of corporations, it is, how do I maximize the bottom line, but address these other constraints that are imposed on me. I have to look as if I care about the environment. Let me give you an example. So we did this study on corporate objectives. Whole bunch of corporate objectives say we care about the environment. One of the interesting things is, when do corporations assume that objective of caring about the environment? Disproportionately when they're fined by the EPA for violations. In other words, when you are caught out, in order to signal that you've actually seen the light and you're going to turn over a new leaf, you espouse that as a corporate objective. So I don't want your listeners to be overly cynical about this, but I would say when a corporation expresses a whole degree of sensitivity for the public good, I mean, a fair amount of it, which is what Milton Friedman said, is hogwash. Now, what I would think is important is not to rely on the corporation to do good on its own, but to make it easier for it to do good by passing the appropriate laws that you think it ought to obey. In other words, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. I mean, keep separate the objective of making money off the commercial proposition, which is what the corporation is about, from the social good, which is what the government is about. But try and ensure the corporation comes under significant sort of rules and regulations, of course, in a reasonable quantity that makes it do the right thing.
So I understand your point about democracy, and if you live in a democratic world or a country, the laws will be passed. But you are a researcher at Chicago Booth, which is primarily free market, as libertarian as possible. And you are saying that laws must be enacted to make corporations perform?
No, absolutely. So first, a university is a big tent. I don't go to my office every day and genuflect at the altar of Milton Friedman, any academic god, is a contradiction in terms. Your whole objective is to challenge the wisdom. All I'm saying is, in the current environment where corporations have 15 different objectives and claim to be adhering to all of them, where the business roundtable says we care about all our stakeholders, we're going to do everything good for all of them, well, you're sort of in a situation where they say they do all this, but obviously, corporations have to choose. They have to choose occasionally between, you know, their shareholder and their worker. They have to choose between the environment and providing jobs. I mean, there are lots of choices they have to make. And being vacuous about it and saying we care about everybody is not helpful in letting you understand what they really care about. And I think it sort of can hide a lot of hypocrisy. I think what is important really is, you know, for corporations to have a set of clear guidelines which they have to follow. I mean, I'm not saying that they're all untrustworthy. I'm not saying there aren't great CEOs who are great human beings also. What I am saying is, don't rely on that. Don't rely on self-regulation by corporations. And I don't also want us to overregulate the corporation. But if you want them to do something, for example, reduce emissions, make that a law. Let them follow the law. And that is the way, I mean, whenever we rely on the good intentions of corporations, I mean, remember a time when all these social platforms were really idealistic and we thought do no evil, which was, I think, Google's motto, reflected the true instincts. And now today, of course, many of these social platforms are, public sees them with a much, much darker view than it used to see them. And in part, it is because we relied on them to regulate themselves. And we said, you're going to figure out what content to allow, what sort of, and see what happened. And the net effect is, now we've got so much disagreement about, you know, say a platform like Twitter, which is in the news today. Should Twitter allow free debate or should it censor debate more? And you've got all sorts of sides being formed on this. And I think this is where sensibly society will sit down and say, here are some rules which you have to follow. And hopefully it's a light set of rules, it's a clear set of rules, but leaving it totally unregulated is, I think, leaving it to the good intentions of corporations, which I think is very weak.
But the truth of the matter is, even if you have regulations, only if it increases profit or some other benefit for the company, till then they are not going to do it, right?
Absolutely. But that, again, I want to distinguish between long-term value maximization and short-term ripping people off. If I rip you off in the short term, yes, I can make more money off you, but then you never come back to deal with me again. I think it's a mistaken to believe every corporation is short-term and wants to rip you off. You know, typically the best managed corporations think about the long-term, think about how they can make money by producing the best product for their customers or the most sort of best product for the money that the customers pay. And so in that sense, I don't think that the natural instinct is to rip you off, but I do think that where the law doesn't force them to do something, they have a choice. Do I become a good global citizen and cut my emissions even though no law requires me to do that? Even though it costs me money, even though it probably means I cannot spend that money on investment, I cannot create jobs, I cannot do all these nice things because I care about the environment. So do you want that kind of calculation to be done by the corporations? Or do you want the corporation to say, I have to obey the law, the emission standard is thus and such, I can't violate it, and maybe I go a little below that just to stay on the right side of the law in case, you know, the law changes. So in these two situations, I think it's better that we have the latter, where you don't leave it to the good intentions of the corporation, but the corporation sort of has to stay within the law. Now, that is not to say there aren't places where corporations have to make judgments, but you don't want everything to be a judgment call. You want as little as possible to be a judgment call in the sense of where society really cares about something. Well, make it a law.
So when we talk about a sustainable world and its impact, we talk about people, the profit and the planet, right? The triple bottom line. So for instance, if we have, I'm just thinking of some law, the minimum wage law. So if we increase minimum wage, there are people who will say that it will cause inflation. You know, so what do you tell them? The businesses will have to pay more. And we already have, what, 8.5% inflation right now in the United States?
Every decision has some winners and losers typically, right? And you have to make choices. And if you increase the minimum wage, you're saying as a society, there are some people who have relatively weak bargaining power. And I want to protect them by setting a minimum. At the same time, you must recognize that this has some costs, that you're increasing the cost of labor to some corporations. It's not cost-free. And that those corporations will either pass it on in higher prices, that is your